And welcome back, everybody, to Webcamps TV Live, here from Codemash 2011, beautiful Sandusky, Ohio. Now, I'm joined here by a special guest who was actually featured in the keynote, Rasesh Shah from PayPal. Welcome, Rasesh.
Thanks, James. Thanks for inviting me and giving me this opportunity.
So how are you finding the snow in Ohio so far? You traveled all the way from Silicon Valley, right, where there isn't much snow at the moment, I take it.
Well, it started snowing when I rented my car, so I don't know whether it's just my luck.
It was an omen. There you go. Now, Rasesh, tell everybody at home what you do at PayPal.
Yeah, so I'm part of a developers network group, and my job is to help developers and entrepreneurs monetize their application. And we actually sort of act as a bridge between the development community and our engineering team. And often we keep ourselves up to date with the industry, what's going on, and what's there out in the market.
Fantastic. Very exciting. Now, today we launched WebMatrix, and we also had a PayPal helper in there. Were you involved in that batch, perhaps?
So it's interesting. This all came, it started happening, as you remember. I mean, you basically introduced us to WebMatrix Beta. And our goal in the developers network is to help developers by giving them toolkits, giving them samples, demos, and make their life as easy as possible. So when we saw this WebMatrix IDE, I mean, we thought that it's a good opportunity for us to kind of have some plugins or the helpers available so that the developers don't have to do any coding if they want to embed payment in their functionality or e-commerce application. Right. So that's how it all started.
So it was a natural fit, really. The simplicity that you were trying to drive.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what WebMatrix is all about, making things simple, perfect fit.
Perfect.
Now, the PayPal helper we saw in the keynote, we saw the simple pay method, but that's not the only call to the service you can make. There's some other stuff in there. What else is lurking in the helper that people can take advantage of?
So simple pay is, like, as the name suggests, right, is the simplest of all the payment, where the consumer pays to the merchant or a sender sends to the receiver. But there are a lot of other functionalities like chain payment, parallel payment. So if it's a chain payment, you sit in the developer sits in the middle and then facilitate the transaction between sender and the receiver and take its commissions and so on. If it's a parallel payment, think of it in applications like accounts payable or disbursements, where you want to, in one transaction, want to pay like multiple receivers. I mean, so those are all these APIs embedded as part of this helper toolkit. Also, we have our, as you know, that our website payment standard, it has button manager APIs. So this toolkit also provides a way to simply create those buttons using APIs and embed that within their e-commerce applications. And also, there is a PayPal bakery template. If you download that template, and that helps you kind of bootstrap your payment development within no time.
The things I like about templates is that it provides a great way to learn the syntax as well.
Exactly, right? So all you have to do is, if you download that, the code is all readily available. You just change your senders and the receiver IDs and a couple of credentials and stuff like that, and then you are ready to go.
It's almost too easy.
That's the goal. So that's what we aim for.
There you go. We're doing our job. So tell us about some of the things that you're seeing at PayPal in terms of trends in e-commerce. What's popular at the moment? What's emerging? What should what should viewers out there on Webcamps TV be watching out for?
So, we opened up this platform for developers about 2 years back, and looking at some of the industry trends, and we thought that we should empower all these developers to kind of monetize their applications. So some of the emerging trends we are seeing in 2011 are like local social and commerce are some of the hot trends going on right now.
So local, you mean like geolocation services?
Location-based payments.
So give me an example where you can take advantage of that.
Recently there's a company called Bling Nation who developed an RFID-based payment reader, RFID-based payment reader using PayPal APIs and PayPal technology. So you can go to the near field and kind of pay, just tap to the Bling reader, and you can do the payment using that. When I say local, I mean, there are also some of the offline devices you can empower using PayPal backend, meaning, so let's say if you go to a vending machine, right? I mean, the vending machine right now has a huge problem of accepting cash because you don't usually carry that much that much cash in your pocket, right? So you go near a vending machine and you want to buy that cookie bar or whatever, right? And then you don't have the cash. Now, how convenient it will be if you can just pay to this vending machine through mobile, and then behind the scene it activates the candy dispenser, and then, you know.
So the mobile device becomes the bridge to the internet.
Exactly,
the
right?
Machine.
And we provide all the functionalities. So we have the IPN notifications, and all those can actually access the payment switch, if you say.
Okay, so that's local, and then you touched on mobile a bit there. Well, tell us a bit more about mobile trends that you're seeing.
So the mobile, in terms of mobile, I mean, there are two aspects to it. I mean, mobile, what we have seen is the virtual goods and the digital goods and virtual currency is another hot trends going on, and there are a lot of mobile games who kind of offer this functionality. Now, the one interesting experience in that is that when you are playing, let's say, games either on your mobile or some other devices, like maybe a Wii or you know, some of the Microsoft platforms or whatever, right? You don't want to really leave your experience and kind of make a purchase. So what you need is really an in-context payment solution, and PayPal does that. Offer that we announced that recently at our Innovate conference, and so it does not take user away from your experience. I mean, just a browser window pops up, and you can do a payment, and boom, you are done.
And the people generally receptive to that? Do they like the new technology you're bringing out?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I mean, if you are doing the you know, if you are playing a game or if you are watching a TV, and I mean, you really what you want is maybe a small window near that. So you don't want to leave that experience and go somewhere else.
Right.
Right. And we
so
actually
it's like the Facebook Connect experience where
exactly,
they'll pop
yeah.
up an iframe
yeah,
instead
yeah.
of having to redirect.
Yeah. Yeah. So and we in social terms, we have a lot of seen that the social commerce is a new trend, is also evolving. You would have seen like a lot of commerce applications on Facebook where people, you know, collaborate, and kind of there are Facebook walls where people sell things and things like that, right? So our APIs also helps empower those kind of applications.
And you recently announced some new work you were doing with Facebook at your Innovate conference, was
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, yeah, we did that.
What was the news there?
No, so it was the same. So we demoed one of our partners' applications on Facebook, and that was actually an in-context payment without leaving the Facebook experience.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So what are the opportunities that you see in the payment space as you look at it?
So as I said, I mean, the hottest trends are like local, social, and mobile. So if you can think of this as an intersecting circles, right? And if you can build on top of, I mean, that intersection, I mean, either local mobile, local application, or a social mobile application, or a social local application, right? I mean, you can
or a mixture of all three.
Or mix of all these three, right? And it can, I mean, you can make a monetization model which can be, you know, very good. So those are some of the areas I think you will see very good traction in coming recent months.
Now, do you support all of those scenarios in one? Can you like can you do all of that kind of stuff together easily with PayPal?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, as I said, I mean, as we discussed before, I missed one point on the pre-approval functionality. What we have.
That's right.
Yeah. So, with the pre-approval, what you can do is the buyers are not really, or the consumer is not really paying, but he's committing that okay, I will pay, and then you can execute the payment later on.
So, is it like credit almost?
It's not exactly sort of a credit, but you are saying that, okay, I mean, you can so you will get a pre-approval key, and then the developer can actually execute payments against this pre-approval key.
Okay. So up to a certain limit. You can't
so when you
go
take
crazy
a
on that.
No, yeah, of course not. So when you take a pre-approval, you ask certain questions on, okay, how much the payment amount would be, or how many transactions within this pre-approval you can qualify, or, I mean, when can you execute the payment, and things like. So there are a lot of different parameters which you can use. And using those pre-approvals, you can build a lot of exciting commerce models. Like, I mean, I mean, as you would know, I mean, the group buying recently has been, you know, I mean, probably you would have seen that in the news and everywhere, right? So group buying is a emerging trend right now going on in the market. And with the pre-approval, you can actually build a model around that, where your buyer, so you can say that, okay, unless a certain threshold is reached, right, I'm not going to actually charge my consumer.
Oh, I see.
Right?
I
so everybody kind of opts in into this pool, and then you execute the payment once the threshold is reached. So you don't charge the customer immediately.
Fantastic. Rasesh, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for letting everybody know, you know, what the trends are in the web space around mobile payments and all that kind of stuff. And thanks very much for being a partner for the WebMatrix launch.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, James.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Guys, we're going to go back to Redmond now, where we're going to talk to Scott Hunter, the principal program manager lead on the WebMatrix project. And he's going to talk to us about doing database management and queries in WebMatrix. Roll the tape. Hey everybody, welcome back to Webcams TV, and we're here today talking about WebMatrix. And we're very delighted to be joined by Scott Hunter. Scott, would you mind introducing yourself? What do you do?
I'm Scott Hunter. I'm a principal program manager lead at Microsoft on the ASP.NET team, and I work on building all of the web frameworks that we have, which include web pages, web forms, and MVC.
Excellent, Scott. So welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about WebMatrix, and in particular, how to write databases, modify databases, that kind of stuff. So I believe you've got a demo to show us.
I sure do. So I've got a WebMatrix loaded here, and you might notice that I have a folder called App Under Data. And in App Under Data, I've got a file called tasks.sdf. When you're building applications with WebMatrix, what we recommend is using SQL Compact. It allows you to build an application and ship it up to a hoster without having any requirements that they have a database server or you're paying some extra fee for something. You basically can build your application locally and take it in one piece, ship it up to your hoster, and it will just run.
Nice. So let's take a look at how you use it in WebMatrix.
So you can see I've got a node here for tables, and I've got a table called tasks. I will come up here, and I will click this. And I've clicked it and selected it, and you can see that my task has an ID column, a name column, and a due date column. If I want, while I'm in here, I can click the definition button, and now I can actually edit the table. You can see as I select each column, it shows me the types. So the ID column is an integer. It's an identity and a primary key. That means that when I add a row to the database, the ID column will automatically be generated with the next value higher than the previous value that's in the database. I've got a name column that is text, and I've got a date column, a due date column that's a date time. So now, let's go look and see how you'd actually access data from web pages. So what I've got here is I've got a website with two HTML files, so I don't have any dynamic content at all. So all I'm gonna do is right-click on the file and rename it. There we go. As soon as I've done that, now I can use the power of ASP.NET to program in this file. And now let's go add some code to make this a little bit more interactive.
So we're going to go and access that database that we've added the data to now.
Yes.
Using the Razor code. Okay.
So all I'm going to do is I'm going to create a variable called DB, and I'm going to say it equals database.open, and the name of my database is tasks. And then on my next line, I'm just going to say data equals db.query, and we'll do select star from tasks. And now I'm going to go down into my actual HTML file, and where I have this test data today, I'm going to replace that with data from the database. So I'm going to do an at sign in the Razor syntax. As soon as I do an at, I can start writing code. So I'm going to say at for each var row in data. And then I'm going to do an opening brace. And one of the cool aspects of Razor is while I'm in the middle of code, I can just start writing HTML. So I'm going to write an li tag here because my sample data had an li tag. And then I want to show the data. So I'm just going to say at row dot name, and that will show the name column for my database. I'll flip back to the database tab just so you can see. I've got two columns here. I've got one called name and one called due date. And so all I've got to do is reference those two columns. So there's my name, and I'll put a space, and we'll say it's due by, and now I'll say row.due date to short date string. And so now we can erase our test data there. I will save the file, and we can run this and see if I was successful. There you go.
Perfect. So we've seen in a couple of minutes there how you've created a database, modified it, added some data all in WebMatrix, and then using the new Razor code makes it really easy to access the database from a website and then render it out in HTML. Fantastic. Scott, thanks very much for showing us how easy it is to use WebMatrix to make database-centric web apps.
Thank you.